Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 23, which is also printed in your bulletins for you. Let's hear now the word of our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to ask the young children to come up front, please. Who knows what this is?
A candy cane.
Except for, you know what? Do you know anything about the candy cane? It's red and white. Does it taste good?
Yes.
But you know what? It's not actually a cane. You know what it is? It's in the shape of a shepherd's staff. Do you know what they did with the rounded part of the staff?
They held on to it.
No. When the sheep got in trouble and they couldn't quite reach them, they would reach out. Imagine this was 6 or 7 feet tall. They would reach out and grab the sheep around the middle and pull them back to safety. Do you know what this end was for? No. Down here, again, in Israel, the hills and the mountains were very loose shale on it. And so he would dig that down into the ground and give himself some extra support when he was trying to walk up the mountains. Or when a bear or a wolf came to steal one of the sheep, what would he do?
Poke him.
Go away from here. Or when one of the sheep wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, what would he do?
Poke them.
That's right. But you know what else this is? This is also a J. Whose name begins with J?
Jesus.
That's right. It reminds us about Jesus. Because is Jesus the good shepherd?
Yes.
And the red, what does that remind us of?
The blood.
That Jesus his blood for us. And what does the white remind us of? That he makes us pure and spotless. The person who invented the candy cane had all those things in mind when they invented it. Isn't that cool? And did you listen to our passage today? What's our passage about? The Lord is my shepherd. That's cool. And that's what we're learning about today, how Jesus is our good shepherd. But you know what? Who does Jesus use to help him as a shepherd?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is his helper, yes. Who else does he use to be under shepherds? You. Did you know he wants you to be a shepherd just like him? Does he want you to help people who are in trouble? Yep. If you have brothers or sisters, can you help them? Or friends? And what's the best way you can help them? By telling them about Jesus. Right? So, does anybody need a candy cane to help them remember that? Come on and grab some.
Can I get one for my
You may. Okay. You want one, Charlotte? You may.
Can I get one for my
You
sister?
May.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get one for your sister? There you go. You're now dismissed for children's church as well. Let's pray. Lord, we do give thanks for your goodness to us, for your many blessings, and for this, the greatest blessing, that you are our shepherd. Help us to understand that, and as we receive, so help us to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Many have taken this psalm and simply summarized it as this: the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. If we really get that, we're in a much better place than if we don't. That's the heart of this psalm. And it's an appropriate topic as we enter this Christmas season, which for far too many has devolved into a mass pursuit of consumption. Friday's news showed people literally fighting over stuff in stores around the country. Pushing, shoving, hitting one another, ripping things out of one another. It's just hard to imagine that something could be that important. We all need to get recentered on that simple concept. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And we need to help others to do the same. You know, Psalm 23 follows after Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is the psalm about the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And then Psalm 23 is the shepherd who is our guide and provider and protector, who is leading us to our eternal home. And as we're drawn to this psalm, we need to remember in the light of the rest of Scripture. I think far too often we read this psalm and really most of the Scripture in the wrong context. Because the context of all Scripture is not just what do I get. And this is a wonderful teaching about the Lord is my shepherd. But the rest of Scripture makes clear that's not an end in itself. I don't look to know the Lord is my shepherd just so I have him. But that as I receive, he's giving me this so that I might share with others. And as we're talking about parenting, again, Ten Tripp has that great book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. The idea of parenting is as Jesus is your shepherd, you learn best how to shepherd your children. And it's not just true of parents and children. It's true of teachers and their students. It's true of employers and employees. It should be true of our leaders, both business and political. And boy, have we fallen far from what we should expect of our leaders. And it's this psalm that recenters us and reorients us to what is healthy. And so as we learn to be thankful for our good shepherd, we need also to be aware, how would you have me show this to others and help them to know you as the good shepherd? And the psalm begins right there. The Lord. Now again, we've talked about this before. That's that Hebrew word, Yahweh. And the Hebrews were so afraid of violating the commandment to not take God's name in vain that they wouldn't say Yahweh. And so they simply translated it, Lord. But we should really begin this psalm. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh is that name he gave to Moses when Moses said, well, who shall I say send me? I am. That name that points to the eternity of God, that he is the one who is and who was and who always will be, the God who is without limits. It's also that name that points to him as the one who is ever faithful to all of his promises, who is covenantally faithful. And then we have this contrast, this I am the faithful eternal God. Is a shepherd. A shepherd was the worst job you could get in ancient Israel. Remember David, when Samuel came to Jesse, David's father, and said, bring me your sons. Jesse forgot he had eight of them. The least remembered one was the one who was the shepherd. And it wasn't until the other seven didn't pass that he said, oh yeah, that's right, that shepherd boy. Somebody go find him wherever he is with those dumb sheep. Being a shepherd meant having a never-ending job. Sheep are stupid. They see a clump of grass and go and eat it. But then there's another clump that looks even better down there, and then another, and then the next thing they know, they have no clue where they are. They wander off constantly. They find trouble in ways that you who have little children who have just learned to be mobile could not begin to imagine. And the nicest thing about sheep is a lot of other animals think they would make a tasty meal. And so a shepherd can never let down his guard. He has to be on the watch all the time. And yet here's Yahweh declaring himself to be our shepherd. And the psalmist himself professes, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a personal pledge, promised relationship. The Lord is the one who lives with us, who's our guide, our physician, our protector. This is the most intimate image used in the psalm so far about the Lord's relationship with his people. And the psalmist here just, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will lack nothing." Even though sheep are mostly helpless, they will want nothing because they belong to the one who is self-sufficient, who's inexhaustible, who's faithful in all things. And so where the psalmist starts here is where we need to start as his under-shepherds, to share that we know the one who makes it so that we don't want, who provides ever faithfully for us. That means we need to be walking with him as our shepherd. Lord, help me to be aware of how you are leading me today. Lord, help me to see how in this circumstance, which I really don't like, you're watching over me and you're being faithful. And Lord, where I can't see that, give me faith. Help me to know you as my good shepherd so that, again, not just that I have peace, but so that I can share you with others. Helping others to know you and to trust you and enjoy you as the faithful and good shepherd. And the rest of the psalm, amazingly short but incredibly beautiful and powerful, gives us a number of images to flesh this all out. I'm borrowing a lot here from Philip Keller. Philip Keller was both a pastor and he spent 8 years as a shepherd. And he takes what he learns and distills it down for us. And so here in verse 2, the first picture is of shalom. Now that word is often translated peace, but it also includes the idea of contentment and of rest. Philip Keller writes, "Sheep do not lie down easily. In fact, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four things are taken care of. First, they must know that they are free from all predators. Secondly, they must not have any conflict with the other sheep. Thirdly, there need to be no flies. And fourthly, no famine. It's only as all four of those things are in place, and the sheep know it, that they actually are able to rest." And yet, here's that picture. The good shepherd provides rest for his sheep, protecting them from all who would prey on them, protecting them from one another, and helping them to be at peace. That's like 50% of a parent's job, isn't it, if you have more than one? Flies, you know, pests of all shapes and sizes, and famine. I think, again, this is an invitation to pray, "Lord, help me to provide rest to those you have entrusted to me." Recognizing that we have limits, that we are placed in circumstances that we are not in control of. But Lord, within those boundaries that you have set for me, help me to be a faithful under-shepherd and as best I can, trusting your provision and your help and your wisdom, make me a blessing to those that I have care of, that they might have your shalom. Secondly, verse 3 adds, "He restores my soul." It's a Hebrew idiom that literally means to bring to repentance. And in the context here, it's that the Lord restores to me salvation. Again, sheep wander. Sheep get in trouble. Apparently, if a sheep lies down, and it tends to roll over easy with all that wool on them. And when they do, they start to panic. And they can't get back over. Think of a turtle. But when that happens, gases begin to build up. And in a relatively short amount of time, they die. And so a shepherd regularly goes around and reorients the sheep. Picture here is also of a sheep who wanders away and has to be brought back. Isaiah 49, Psalm 60, Hebrews 3, all pick up that image and use it about the shepherd. And so here again, for those of you called to be shepherd, which is all of us, we're called to pay attention, both physically and spiritually, to those who are under our care, to look to see and to recognize quickly when they're in trouble. You know, when my daughter was young, we used to go to this pond, and when she would see the water, she would get so excited, and she would just lean forward, and her legs would follow. And she would run into the pond, and she would only stop when it got over her head. At which point, as a parent, you had to learn to drop everything you were carrying and recognize, oh, she's in trouble, because she doesn't know to stop. And that's the image that we have here. We need to regularly remind our those under our care, particularly parents with children, those children need to be reoriented again and again and again. Again, remember the call here is to repentance, and repentance means a change of mind. I can't do that for anyone. Only the Holy Spirit can. So a lot of what's being worked about here is, Lord, send your Spirit, use the word that you've given to call them back to you as their Lord and as their shepherd. Help me to know how to help them to avoid those traps and to not get in trouble. In fact, verse 3 then adds on this idea, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Again, sheep wander away, always looking for that nicer clump of grass. But a good shepherd leads them to that place where he knows there's an abundance of food. But again, as we heard earlier in our reading, we like sheep have all gone astray. We wander off. And so we constantly need to be brought back to something better. Paths of righteousness, the right paths, are not just physical but also spiritual. Lord, help me to follow you as the good shepherd, and help me to help my children and those under my care learn to do that. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we would have ears to hear. Fill us with your Spirit that we might have eyes to see and hearts that delight to follow you in the paths of righteousness. And help us, Lord, as the psalmist adds here, to do this for your name's sake, out of loyalty, out of trust of your character and goodness. That's the heart of it. Verse 4 adds the idea of protection. So he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, literally of deep darkness. Those valleys were both places where predators lurked, and in Israel, regularly when flash floods would come, that which was dry just a short while before all of a sudden would become a rushing stream that would carry sheep away. And there's a warning here. The Christian life is not a nice flat path. God often brings us into deep darkness. But he's our shepherd. He doesn't abandon us in those places. He's with us, protecting, providing, and guiding, taking us to a better place through that deep darkness into his light. The valley is part of God's pathway, God's plan for us. Christian life is not going to be always tranquil or safe. Only the end is. And notice here in this verse 5, it changes. You. It becomes very personal. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, rod and staff, as I was talking with the children, are both a weapon for defense from the prey, but also regularly used for discipline and control and to rescue the sheep. Discipline is actually security. I read a study years ago where they made this incredible playground with all these things about it, and in one playground, there was no fence, and most of the kids huddled towards the middle of the playground. Then they put a fence around that exact same playground, and they were all over it, all over all of the toys, because they felt protected. That's what our discipline does for our children and for those. They know the rules, and they know they're consistent, and they know they're safe there. And the whole idea is, again, Lord, help me to personally protect, not just from physical danger, that I got to do that, but even more so from the schemes of the deceiver and accuser of our soul, because he's preying on them. And the best way we do that, again, is by pointing our children and those under our care back to Jesus, because he alone can lead us through death. No one else is qualified. No one else is capable. And verse 5 shows that for us. He prepares a table. So transition image here from the shepherd who finally has led his sheep up to the high mesa where the good grass is and where they stay for the summer in his dwelling place. Oil and wine speak of the joy and the prosperity. Olive and grapes require time to grow. And in the time of warfare, often were neglected. But here there's an abundance. And in a dry, barren land, they were of great blessing. Psalm 104 points out that oil makes the face to shine and wine gladdens the heart. And so here's this picture of abundance in the midst of enemies. Again, the good shepherd is so much greater than all that would stand against us. Here's the hospitality of a friend who is the conquering king, who in victory invites you to the celebration table. That's what he wants us to understand here. And it's that celebration table that gives us assurance of ongoing eternal blessings. He celebrates here his goodness. Again, Satan's great job is to make us doubt the goodness of God. But as the psalmist follows and is blessed, what he keeps seeing is the goodness of God. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of trial, in the midst of hardship, God is good. God is full of mercy. Even though we wander away, he brings us back. God is full of steadfast love. He will not change his mind about us. And verse 6 just makes clear that surely that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have an eternal home, the new heavens and the new earth. For a nomadic people, that image was just hard to conceive. An abundance of blessing and of peace and of no more work. No more packing up and moving. Now, Derek Kidner summarizes the psalm that there's a depth and a strength underlying the simplicity of the psalm. Its peace is not about escape. Its contentment is not about complacency. There's a readiness to face deep darkness and imminent attack, and the climax reveals a love which homes in towards no material good, but to the Lord our shepherd himself. Again, the psalm is incredibly personal. It's not about the Lord who is a shepherd. It's about the Lord, my shepherd. That's the difference between truths about God and an invitation to be his forevermore. And that's really the question the psalm is asking. Is he your shepherd? Are you experiencing these things from the Lord? Are you daring to ask? Again, we can read this psalm as, here's God's promises to you. Are we then taking them and turning them back into prayers to God? Lord, help me to trust you as my protector, as my provider, as my healer, as my good shepherd. And of course, Jesus picks up all this image in John 10 and makes clear, he is the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep and who provides abundant life. And Jesus himself did this because the Father was his shepherd. The one who was with him, who provided and guided and comforted and gave him rest. Which helps us to understand even more powerfully the agony of the cross. Because as Christ became sin, he was cut off purposefully, sacrificially from the Lord as his shepherd. That's the penalty of sin. But even then, he trusted the Father. And on the third day, the Father raised him up and restored to him all that was his and gave him that name above every name. And so now in Christ, we're invited to know God as our good shepherd through Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who has laid down his life for us and who is that new and living way. If Jesus needed to depend, how much more do we? One of Satan's great lies is you've got to be independent. You can only trust yourself, which is impossible and foolish because we have a shepherd who's given his life for us, and our life is now found by abiding in him and declaring, the Lord is my shepherd. Early in Jesus' public ministry, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go read the Gospels again. We're going to start Mark in January and read them in that context. What is the shepherd doing for his sheep? How is the shepherd blessing his sheep? How is the shepherd restoring the souls of his sheep? Lord, do it for me. But again, we need to read this, not just, Lord, do it for me, but do it for me in such a way that I can then become your under-shepherd, helping others come to know you as the good shepherd. Help me, Lord, to know that you have received my punishment for me, that even though I keep wandering, you keep bringing me back, and you forgive and you bless, and you'll never leave or forsake. And even now, here's the picture. Even now, he's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies that we might enjoy him and his abundance, to find our shalom in him as our good shepherd. And as we receive, so we're set free to bless and to share. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us not just to read this psalm that is so familiar to us, but help us to chew on it, to meditate on it, to pray it back to you, and to dare to trust you for more in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our trials, to know that you are our good shepherd and we are your sheep, well loved, well cared for, eternally blessed. It's in your name we pray. Amen.